हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 134. Sukadev Goswami continued, "If in this life a man of the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, is very fond of taking his pet dogs, mules, or asses into the forest to hunt and kill animals unnecessarily, he is placed after death into the hell known as Pranarodha. There the assistants of Yamaraj make him their targets and pierce him with arrows."
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they get out the bugle and do, you know, the... Da, 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 you know, that the whole fox hunt thing, you know, all doing cantering on their horses, you know, like that. while the guys are
okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, In the Western countries especially, aristocrats keep dogs and horses to hunt animals in the forest. Whether in the West or the East, aristocratic men in the Kali Yuga adopt the fashion of going to the forest and unnecessarily killing animals, right? Previous ages, they go for killing the animals. One, they have to actually practice their skills because and animals are actually going to move much quicker and more, how you say, you don't know how they're going to run, you know, because especially then for that practice, you have deers. And deers are the most expert at you not knowing how they're going to run, because they can actually almost run sideways. You know, they can have their feet on the ground and they can be like at a 30 or 45 degree angle when they go. They can go and then suddenly turn the other way, and they're so in that skill, then they're the best, very agile. But at the same time, is that they also, because in those days so many people lived in the forest, the Brahmins, the Vanaprasthas, the Sannyasis, all these different sages, and that sometimes you get an overabundance of tigers, wild boars, all the dangerous animals. So they're also very ferocious. The ones, they're very agile, so they're very quick, but the other ones are more of a challenge, that they're actually, they have that fighting spirit, you know, like that. So then they would go and hunt them so that there's not too many of them in the forest, right? But they're only hunting animals that are standard to hunt. Right, I don't think foxes are on the list, you know, like that. But it's, in other words, it's animals that, one, it benefits those by reducing, and at the same time, the skins of those animals are valuable, or that they themselves can be offered in sacrifice. So animals that can't be offered in sacrifice, and that they're not animals that are used. Like that. So it's not just for fun. They just don't go out there and beat the bushes and shoot everything that comes out. You know, they have to be very specific. Target an animal, then chase it and engage. So it's like the lion. The lion makes the challenge, he roars, then he chases. Like tigers will sneak up and pounce. But lions, they challenge, then they... So the animal knows. So otherwise, if they don't know, then that's not what happens on the battlefield. You have to challenge the kshatriya. So it has to be that the animal knows, then you apply yourself. Otherwise, you don't hear of in the modern that they get so tired. Right? But before, they would get tired because it was real work. They had to write, they had to go, they had, you know, it was much more work. Right? And then the animal will be offered in sacrifice, so the animal will be elevated to human life. Right? You know, but then the kshatriya is left with the reactions that between animal life and human life that they have to deal with, right? That's for, therefore, sacrifice, sadhana, you know, charity, yagyas, worship of the Brahmins, so that they could actually deal with these things. So it wasn't just they go out for fun and hunt. If they did do that, that's considered bad. therefore there's a hell for him.
Huh?
Yes.
But it says that they're taking their pet dogs, mules, asses into the forest. Why would they take them? Dogs, I understand.
You have to ride on something. Some of that means this isn't ordinary ones. These are the ones that are really fast.
Not like
horses. Horses also. Nowadays they use that, but before as they had, because mules and certain kinds of asses, they can actually run faster, longer. So it's like when you have to take something to get it someplace really fast in a short time, generally you would see they'd use mules or the asses. But it's not just your any type, it's some special ones, yes. Yes, that's also pack animals, because then you have all these animals, you have to bring them back, so then you're going to load them on something. So that's therefore the, in that way then, the mules and asses can also be that side. No, they're not hunting them. They go with them to the forest, so the dogs are going to help. Then here Prabhupada mentions riding their horses, so dogs and horses, but then they have the pack animals to bring all the animals back that they kill. Yeah, yeah. No, you don't take all your pets and then shoot them and then
go fetch them.
That's connected to class this morning when there's no Garbhodan and not Mary. Then you get that one.
That's the kid you get.
Yeah.
Okay, last class, but not in the morning, yesterday, there are some that they raise
kill their pets.
The pet and then they kill them. Remember, or something like that?
Yeah, well, that's also, so then you get that also. You know, let's see how it comes along. But this one specifically is they go out from there. Because here it says, keep dogs and horses to hunt animals in the forest. So then that would give the idea that that's what he's meaning. Yeah, because it says, keep the pet dogs, mules, or asses to hunt and kill animals unnecessarily. It doesn't say to kill them. Yeah, okay. Okay, then where are we?
So, Maharaj, when they do that, it's a big, it's like a caravan. Many, many people are involved.
Yes, yes. No, they go in the whole thing.
And they don't do one by one. It means sometimes they do for cleaning one place about animals.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Like, so sometimes there can be 30, 40, 50 men.
Yes,
plus,
yes.
Now it's car, of course. But it's it's a big thing.
Yes, yes. So that's why it's not proper. You know, the animals are animals. They have their own skills. But so it's supposed to be more of a, you know, a proper challenge and everything like that. Or you would have that sometimes also the kings, they would challenge a tiger hand to hand combat.
Yes.
They have special knives because the lions or tigers have claws. But they have these special knives that they can hold in their hand and they're supported on their wrist.
Yes, yes.
Because they're very heavy. They weigh like, I'm not sure, 300-400 kilos.
Yes, yes.
You know. So then to be able to fight with them and kill them, then that would be there also. So even up to very recently, the Kshatriyas in Rajasthan could do that, would do that. But I think that may have been up to like 50s, 60s. I don't know if it came farther than that. I think may have heard of something in the 70s or 80s. But I haven't heard of anything since.
It's once against one.
Yes, one against one.
Yeah.
And it's not that the animal's wounded, like the, you know, like in Spain or anything like that. You know, I mean, it looks really glorious because they're like this. But you know,
they feed these bulls, and then a few days before the match, they starve them, so they're completely brainwashed for energy.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, the matador wouldn't stand a chance.
No.
Yes, it's not that as glorious as they make it out to be. Men of the higher classes, the Brahma, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, should cultivate knowledge of Brahman, and they should also give the Sudras the chance to come to that platform. If instead they indulge in hunting, they are punished as described in this verse. Not only are they pierced with arrows by the agents of Yamaraj, but they are also put into the ocean of pus, urine, and stool described in the previous verse, because they're not elevating themselves. In other words, for not making the attempt to elevate yourself, then, you know, the ocean of pus, urine, and stool, that's just automatic. That's just a given. Then if there's any other ornaments to your... then you work all these out. So.
And that, regardless of how elevated you are, if you're not working to elevate yourself.
Yes, because here is that they're in the higher class, but they're degrading themselves. Yes. They're maybe performing their duties, but this aspect brings them into a degraded consciousness. So it's not as bad as the ones born in those families who don't make an attempt at all. Right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's something, it's they have that element more of the shooters where they're not trying to elevate themselves, but at the same time as they have the extra, because they are disturbing the animals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, a person who, in this life, is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vishvasana after death. There, the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. Mm-hmm. So this is this their pride they're doing. It's not that it's supposed to be. It's not that it's a duty. It's just due to pride they're doing. Mm-hmm. So then there's no need for it. Because it's not like they're trying to elevate themselves. Mm-hmm. They're just doing it because then people will think, oh, he's doing so big and prestigious. So it's not about the benefits in the future. It's about the social prestige now.
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada comments, in Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Krishna said, Suchi nam shrimyatam gehe, yoga brashto bijayate. Because of his previous connection with bhakti yoga, a man is born into a prestigious family of Brahmins or aristocrats. Right? Oh, it's mentioned here also. Yeah, no, because we're going to get that in the next, I think, the next chapter, also, I mean, the next canto, we're going to get that. And then it's mentioned again in 11th. I only thought it was mentioned, though, the one, but it's actually a few times. But, you know, so, in other words, that comes from connection with bhakti yoga. So it's does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not enough that they're so fixed, but it's enough that it gives them that position. Right, so in other words, something connected to the Lord brings them to a more elevated state. That's why then those from these higher grade families, then you preach nicely, then they come into Krishna consciousness nicely. And then they're very fixed, they're very good. Right? But if you don't preach nicely, you alienate them, then they become the lowest, the Naradamas. That's why it's a little delicate. You know, you take a muda and try to preach to him, and he doesn't. He just becomes more of a muda.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the offense against the Holy Name, that if you increase the faithless,
yes, you'll give them more that they can. In other words, if you say something to someone who has no faith, now he has more things to criticize, like that. So that's why, you know, you. That's why if you start with the primary aspects of the actual Vedanta, then there's nothing there for them to grab onto, because it's on the platform of the soul. There's nothing for the conditioning to take. Once it makes sense there, then you've also understood more their mentality. Then you start to bring it down into practical examples and that fit into their life. And so then you take it through very nicely. It's delicate to take them through, but once they're through, they're the strongest. Others may be more thick-skinned, but once they establish, they may not be as quick. Like that. You know what I'm saying? They'll be able to do so much. They can really spread the movement. Like that. So that's always an advantage, but it has to have the proper dealing. Because they're there because of bhakti. Right, so you can say, oh, they're rich, they're wealthy, they're prestigious, and so because they have a degree, and then they do this and that. No, it's because they've done bhakti. So that's the whole point, is you're born in the family of devotees because of bhakti. You're born in these aristocratic and Brahmin, and another place it mentions are royal families because of bhakti, like that. So the whole thing is you want all this, it's because of bhakti. Because we see in those things last. Because aristocratic means it's there. It doesn't say rich. It's aristocratic. Mm-hmm. Not that it's rich is also not there, but that's something that's standard. It's been there. So it's stable. Well, the other is that he's rich today, and you don't know if he's still rich. You know, you hear about somebody in the news, big this and that. You don't hear anything more about them. Mm-hmm. What happened to them? You know?
Yeah, nothing, yeah, nothing happened. That's the point. How do we say? Nebbish happened. Okay. Having taken such a birth, one should utilize it to perfect bhakti yoga. However, due to bad association, one often forgets that his prestigious position has been given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he misuses it by performing various kinds of so-called yajnas, like Kali Puja or Durga Puja, in which poor animals are sacrificed. Yeah, I think they just had this before. Remember that big monster earthquake up in Nepal?
Yeah.
So just before that, I think, was some kind of puja where whoever it was, I'm not sure who, but some very influential people, I don't know if it was the king or who it was, that they decided this is going to be the biggest year they're going to sacrifice the maximum amount of animals that's never happened before. And right after that puja, then they got the earthquake.
Someone told me
500,000.
Yes.
Huh? 300,000.
Yes. 300,000?
Yes.
I think 5,000 was like buffaloes, big.
Oh, okay, big, yeah.
Like that, which had never been done.
Yes.
So it's prestigious.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it means. It's, he was doing it for prestige. Oh, we're going to do it bigger than ever before and all that. And then
something else happened.
Happened also bigger than ever before. Yeah, so. Like that.
Did they realize it?
I don't know.
No, because it's all over Facebook.
Yeah, whether they'll realize it. They're also the smartest out there. The Brahmins are smartest, so they've got a problem. That's why we don't do so well in Nepal. Yeah, the Brahmins block. We can't register. We're not registered there.
So they also go to this house before on a robot.
Yeah, like that. Yes, yes. Like that. So that's the advantage and disadvantage. So they have the culture, so then those who do join, then it works very nice, but at the same time as they can block. So if India had all the kings, then it would be very specific which kingdoms we would be able to preach in. You know? But since it's there, then you can preach everywhere. So it has its advantages also. Though culturally there's loss, but Krishna consciously, then it's more open. I think Singapore is similar.
Yeah.
Like that. The Brahmins there are smartas that advise the government, and then they don't like us, so same thing.
That's the only country
that felt like being involved. Yeah. Same thing because of that.
So it's far out because they're so factually wrong. They just don't care.
No. Yeah. No. Because that's what they just go by the letter of the rule. They're like how you say? Shastric bureaucrats.
But if you read Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Brahmana and Vaishnava, they're not going by the rule.
That's another thing, but you can start off from the position, because the point of the rules is devotional service, so they're actually missing. But certain rituals they do exactly, you know, their standard of cleanliness and regulation and all that's proper. The mentality is what's totally wrong. So because of that, they'll interpret things wrong. So then you end up with, you know, things not being, you know, the devotional service doesn't thrive where they are. Yes. That's a kayasta. Technically, a kayasta is someone from the higher caste who's doing a shudra office job. That's what they'll do it so well. That's why they're important, because they do it better than the shudra would do it. Because they have that brain to relate, because the shudra is just doing it, may not relate to, like, let's say you have an accountant. He just knows accounts, but he doesn't necessarily know business. Right? So therefore, if you have to do some cooking, then you need a kayasta. Because they're from the higher orders, they can relate to the business, how it works, things like that. Then they can properly cook. Yes. If that makes sense. Okay. You know, like that. So they know how to do, because that's the point, is they can write letters, they can do all anything you need to do out of an office. So they're the most qualified. A shooter does a specific thing, and that's it. They can't independently think of what to do. Yeah, the smaller picture. Yeah, if they can do a bigger picture, then you'll see they'll automatically move up. They'll be supervisors, managers, and all, you know, things like that. Because if they can do, they will. But that will be more rare.
But the Kayasthas will always be more qualified in general. Though, of course, amongst them you're going to have more and less qualified also. Does that make sense? So you can have a Shudra who's more qualified than a Kayastha, but that will be more rare. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just a mentality. So yes, it's a bit like that. But it's in the Brahminical field, not in the economic field, you know, or administrative field. Right, so various kinds of so-called yajñas, because they're not actually according to what they're supposed to be. Okay, in which poor animals are sacrifices. How such a person is punished is described herein. The word dampa yajñeshu in this verse is significant. If one violates the Vedic constructions while performing yajña and simply makes a show of sacrifice for the purpose of killing animals, he is punishable after death. In Calcutta, there are many slaughterhouses where animal flesh is sold that was supposedly been offered in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. The shastras enjoin that one can sacrifice a small goat before the goddess Kali once a month. Nowhere is it said that one can maintain a slaughterhouse in the name of temple worship and daily kill animals unnecessarily. Because it's once a month and you have to do it yourself. Right? It's not that you have the butcher arranges it, then you just come and collect and go home. It's that you have to organize it, you have to arrange everything like that, so you're involved. Like we're saying, the Ashwamedha Yajna, from what I've understood, is at the point where they kill the horse's head is cut off by the queen. You know, so it's don't mess with Kshatriya women. No. That's what you learn from this.
Yeah.
You know, so they have to be tough. Yeah, to do. So there's all these things that get everybody involved and everything. We see Ramanujacharya was very expert at that when he had, like, how he systematized everything so that everyone was engaged. Rather than nowadays, you systematize so no one's engaged.
Yes.
But the Vedic was, I mean, it's theirs, everyone's engaged. So therefore, let's say, how you say, you know, to open a particular festival, you put on a particular outfit. That's kept in a particular go-down. But because it's valuable, the keys for that go-down are with these certain people. And then this particular person, he brings it out. This one does this, that one does that. So everybody gets an engagement. You know, so everybody has service to render for the deity. So that the way Ramanuja arranged it, that everybody would be engaged. Right? Like that. So that would be the specific thing. Like you see when Lord Ramachandra, when he came back into Ayodhya, then one of them's carrying the umbrella, one the chamara, one the fan, one the shoes, one the... Like that. Each one of them could run the country. But everybody's got an engagement. So that's the idea. It's supposed to be engaged. But here, it's not about engagement. It's just for show. It's just for prestige. Therefore, there's a reaction. Those who do so receive the punishments described herein. Sukadeva Goswami continued. If a foolish member of the twice-born classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, forces his wife to drink his semen out of a lusty desire to keep her under control, he is put after death into the hell known as Labhabhaksha. There he is thrown into a flowing river of semen, which he is forced to drink. In this world, some persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. Oh, so that's a different hell. Okay, yeah. So here the point is that this is not considered of, say, why it says Brahman, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas. Shudras get involved in this, you don't worry about it. Because the point is cleanliness. Right? So drinking semen is not considered clean. So that's why it's not practiced by the higher classes. It comes up, that's one thing. But here it's that he forces because he thinks this will keep her under control. So he thinks it's some kind of tantra kind of thing, that this is what's going to make her submissive and this and that. But it's not about that. It's just for sense gratification. So that's not used. Brahmins, and in other words, of this, Brahmins don't use this. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas might. It's not recommended. right? Not rec- means may, they may use the activity, not that it keeps the wife under control. Does that make sense? There's a difference there, right? Shudras, whatever they do, you don't worry about what to do. Yeah. Okay, that's one. In this world, some persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. Right, so this is just, they make their profit off of stealing from others by clever ways, either fancy ways of stealing or by masking as if it's some government, you know, law or something like this. But in any case, then they're punished like that. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Sharama, Sharameyadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. Right? So even here, the use of dogs like this to kill people as a punishment is only in very extreme cases. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, because generally it's just the person deserves to die. They're killed. Yes. You know, they're hung, their head's cut off, their head's kicked off by an elephant. They're burnt in a straw fire. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's something that's basically fairly efficient and quick. Mm-hmm. You know, but something like this, this is, you know, a little less nice. Yes. Sorry?
Less efficient.
Yes. I mean, it is efficient, but it takes a little longer because there's so many dogs and, you know, like that. You know, it's like one dog, you know, you think you have a chance, but 720, you know, there's no chance there. You know. Vajradantis, yeah. Huh. Do they use that toothpaste or something? Yeah. Huh? No, the dogs here. Because they're the ones with the Vajradantis.
So they've been thinking that they become like dogs after using that?
Well, at least no one will mess with you. When somebody gives you trouble, you pull out your tube of toothpaste. Hey, I use Vajradantis.
I'm not afraid to use this.
Yeah. Okay. 26 to 27. In his purport to verse 27, Srila Prabhupada comments, in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in this age of Kali, everyone will be extremely disturbed by three kinds of tribulations: scarcity of rain, famine, and heavy taxation by the government. Because human beings, so it's not that the government is protecting the people, the government is using tax as an occupation. Right? Rather than the protection of the people is the occupation, and tax then supports that. No, they're only in government to tax people and get money to maintain themselves. So it's nothing about taking care of people. So that's why it says that in Kali Yuga, this will be a problem. Because human beings are becoming more and more sinful, there will be a scarcity of rain, and naturally no food grains will be produced. On the plea of relieving the suffering caused by the ensuing famine, the government will impose heavy taxes, especially on the wealthy mercantile community. Right, but what they're missing is that it's only when there's rain, then you have the stuff that you can sell. Right? So that's why it just goes down and down and down. In this verse, the members of such a government are described as dasyu, thieves. Their main activity will be to plunder the wealth of the people. Whether a highway robber or a government thief, such a man will be punished in his next life being thrown into the hell known as Sharamayadhana, where he will suffer greatly from the bites of ferocious dogs. But it doesn't mention there, then he dies. So it's just harassed by dogs all day. Right? Tough one. Yeah. Sukadev Goswami continued. Yes.
When you actually die, that's when you go back?
Not necessarily. They'll probably then, you know, give you, you know, because then you'll leave that particular body that they've covered you with. They'll just give you a new one. And then back to work. Either that or they don't mention how long the the punishment is before they kill you. So maybe they do that for 10,000 years and then they kill you. So then, yes, your time's up, so then you're done. It's not, point is it's not going to be good, however it works out. Yes, yes, yes. Like that, naturally. Because also the bigger. I always remember saying, okay, we had the grandfather had a dog, and he was this high. I mean, my shoulder. You know, it was like, you know, so that was, you know, much later in life than you see one of those dogs in, you know, real life, and they're not that big at all. And it's kind of like, wow. Yeah, like a horse, yeah. I guess that's why kids like to ride them around, because they're like horses. Sugadeva Goswami continued, a person who in this life bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraj, right? Because it's supposed to be what you say is what you do, right? Unless there's some situation that you wouldn't tell the truth, but in other words, the normal things you would, right? Then you say you're going to give in charity, then you don't. Or you're going to, or, you know, you give and then you do something else with it, or you expect something from it, or.
It's one cloud, remember? Yes. What
were
you
between
lizard?
Nriga. Yes, Nriga. Yeah. Because he gave the cow to one Brahmin and then it left his flock and then he gave it again to another Brahmin and then the Brahmin wanted it back, you know, so he said, I'll give you more cows, and no, you wanted that one because you gave that one. You know, that was given the sacrifice because, you know, and then. The problem.
Maharaj, you also said that when people do business, they are more or less lying.
No, but then you see, is there's one thing is that you're lying. That means it's one thing that you don't tell the truth. It's another thing that you lie. There's a difference. You know, you say, oh, this is very nice, very, very, you know, rare thing, like this, but it is what it is.
Yes.
But when you sell something that's not what it is, you know, you
yes.
mix it, you adulterate it, that kind of thing, or you claim it does something that it doesn't, that's then what we're talking about here. Because the point is in business, you can't be totally straightforward.
Yes.
Right? So that's the point, is it's not that you're lying, you're just not, you just say something that answers their question but doesn't answer their question. Yeah, therefore it's half-truth.
But for example, to say with you, I don't do any profit. So it's a lie, or it is
It's not any significant point. Practically.
That means before me, you don't necessarily hear those that are more better businessmen, you never hear them say that.
Yes.
So, in other words,
yes.
If you're in a place buying something where they say that, you might consider it going next door. like that. So, you know, it just means that why are they saying that? But I'm just saying. So in other words, it's not. So that would mean that may fall in here. Or just talking about in business. You know, you don't do. Do they announce it that okay, this Gucci dress that costs, it's only you know this big, you know, and this wide. It's completely plain, and there's one hidden zipper in it. That's all there is. It costs you $1,400. Do they mention that it actually only cost them $20 to make? No, they don't say that. So they're not lying. They're just not telling the truth. That's what we're meaning. Okay, maybe it costs them $50. Okay. So that's the whole thing. Is that that's not that that's what we mean. But ones where they say, it, you know, it's good for this, that, but it's not. Or they adulterate, or this. In other words, where there's cheating in the process, that's then where you're going to get the problem. But otherwise, you know, government's supposed to control those things. Prices. Yes. Prices are supposed to be controlled by the government. So it should be, yes, it's made of rare material, it's hard to get, it's hard to maintain, it's hard to deal with, like this, therefore the price will be high. You know, maybe he did get it for a very small amount where he did, but it's rare. You know, it's, you know, they have to get it in some far off place, and you know, it's you know, all these things, it's something there, moths love it, so they're going to eat it like anything. So, you know, they don't eat the polyester stuff, but they're going to eat this. You know, that's why Italian wool costs you more, because there's so many moths. They love Italian wool, so therefore, you know, it's very hard to keep. It's hard to maintain. So there, then there's price. So the government will judge that and say, okay, so this can be for this much, but it's not beyond what's, you know what I'm saying? Because in any case, it's that, it's just like you've seen in petrol, right? You have the one petrol station is selling it for one price. The other one's selling it for a few cents less. Yes. People go to the one where it's less. Yes. Like that. So the point is the difference between a more expensive or less doesn't have to be so much. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be $150 for a bottle of perfume or $20 for a bottle of perfume. Mm-hmm. It only has to be, you know, how you say, you know, 20 and 30 or 20 and 50. Mm-hmm. That's all, because the others won't buy it at all. So the Vedic thing is everything is reasonable. So that everybody has money. You're making money, but things don't cost much. You know, nowadays the businessmen make more, but it costs more to buy things. Well, before things cost less, it cost less to buy things. You know, they made less profit, but it didn't cost much to buy things. Now they make more profit, but it costs more to get things. So they actually don't have any more money. All it is the poor people have less. So that's why it's considered wrong. Because before, everybody had something. So there's not a problem in the Vedic that you have gradation in rich and poor, but it should be that it's more properly balanced. Okay, a person in life who bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraj. You know, so therefore, some of these bear false witness. Oh, I was just trying to help, or, you know, we had to make a point, or, you know, there's some lame excuse. But such a sinful man is taken to the top of a mountain 800 miles high. That's pretty high. That's higher than Everest. Yeah. I think it's also you're out there, you know, you would have to, and then the other thing is then they always have to watch out because they keep having to duck so they don't get hit by, you know, the, what do you call it? The satellites going by and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's a double problem. Yeah. And thrown headfirst into the hell known as Avichimat. This hell has no shelter and is made of strong stone resembling the waves of water. There is no water there, however, and thus it is called Avichimat, waterless. Although the sinful man is repeatedly thrown from the mountain and his body broken into tiny pieces, he still does not die but continuously suffers chastisement. But, so they take you up there, 800 miles, right? You know, I mean, people don't do well, they fall out a 10-story building. You know, let alone 800 miles, right? And then you have these hard stones. So it's not that the stone breaks, but they're shaped like waves. So it's uneven. So then, you know, yeah. So you get broken into, it says, small pieces, tiny pieces, right? You know. And then after that, then they...
Maybe they went to the moon and they
there. Yeah, could be. They went there. And then after they drag you up there and toss you off again.
Exactly.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, like that.
Any Brahmin or Brahmin's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agents of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also waits any Kshatriya, Vaishya, or person under a vow who in illusion drinks Somarasa.
So the Somarasa as the thing, but you can't drink more than a drop. So they do more than, in other words, intoxication. Those who follow vows aren't supposed to be involved in intoxication. In Ayapana, the agents of Yamaraj stand on their chests and pour hot melted iron into their mouths. You know, so that, because when you drink alcohol, it feels hot.
Yeah.
So you like hot, okay. They will give you hot. And I wonder if after they pour it out, then they take the bucket or whatever they used, and then they put it upside down, you know, like that. part of the thing. Yes. Srila Prabhupada comments, one should not be a Brahmin in name, only engaged in all kinds of sinful activities, especially drinking liquor. Brahmana, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas must behave according to the principles of their order. Right, so Brahmins, then it's definite. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, then you don't have this hell unless they're you know, following Vrata. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So devotees are acting as Brahmins, that's why we don't get involved. Does that make sense? Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, a low-born, abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual master, is like a dead man even in this lifetime. Right? So it's any of these things. Mm-hmm. So it's not that somebody's done something right or wrong. It's that they have a higher position due to some reason that always has to be dealt with. Right? Even someone does something wrong, if these qualities are there, you still have to behave properly.
We have different ways of being senior. Like age, facility.
Yes, but it's just like austerity. Someone's done something great in this. Maybe they're not doing now, but they have in the past. So that has to be recognized.
Is there anything we should kind of note in terms of how to grade these different ways of being senior? I mean, how are they relating to each other?
Meaning?
Like Diksha initiation, where does that put compared to, say, realization compared to social position?
Means whatever's the highest on the devotional, then that will be the higher as it goes down. So therefore, realization will be the highest, position of spiritual master will be that, education, like that will be then after that, then behavior, right? Austerity, you know, then caste, then birth.
Yeah.
Right. So birth will be the lowest, but still it has to be considered.
Yes, sir.
You know, if someone's born in a good family, that has to be respected. Yes. Basically, yes. But here's putting or spiritual order, yes. So it's also the higher in the varnas. I mean, the ashrams, like that. So then that has to be considered. Someone's the higher in the ashrams, you have to behave nicely. You know, so brahmacharis have to behave, grihastas on up, grihastas of vanaprasa sannyasa on up, like this. So it has to be.
Or birth, does that mean age?
Birth would mean these families. It could also mean age. Yeah, they're born before you, so they're older than you. So it probably includes both. Then, especially since he mentioned caste, then it most likely means age. Like that. Or the position was better. You know, something was there. And austerity means what they've done. That's the service they've rendered. The sacrifices made. That has to be. There's also relation. You know, the superior in relation. So then that has to be. So that's what Daksha was going on. But he didn't realize is that it's true. He, as the son-in-law, should stand up. But what he didn't catch is that he's having a sacrifice. You have the sacrifice because you have Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva there at the sacrifice. And he's Shiva. So therefore, he's just a Prajapati. So he's a residing demigod in this case. He's just a Yajamana. So from that angle, and that's a higher position. And his realization, his renunciation, all these is more. Though, by family relation, then Daksha was right, but it was only one of many others that were much more weighty than his consideration. Right? So that's why then it's there. So if he had dealt nicely there, if he was respecting Shiva for, you know, his position, naturally Shiva would deal with him as the son-in-law. But since he didn't deal in that way, he's expecting it all like that. Though it's a yogi, it wasn't that he came to his house and, you know, he's visiting the house and he's sitting there and then Daksha walks in and then he doesn't stand up. Then you can say something more. But this is a yajna, this is a sacrifice. And then we can see the mentality, then he didn't invite Brahma or Shiva. Or I mean Shiva or Brahma. Mm-hmm. You know, Shiva because he has a problem, Brahma because he supported Shiva, right? You know, so then...
Ended up to the head of a goat
head. Yeah, and then ended up with the goat head. Yeah. Though, one thing is you have to do, you don't have to really get into a manicure to have a good goatee. Right, it's just kind of pretty straightforward, pretty natural. So it's if you'd consider that an advantage, you
silver
know?
Lining.
Yeah, yeah. Plus the horns would go down well in certain circles and all that. Probably not on the heavenly planets, but down here some circles. You know.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's always, generally it's like a default beard on artists and on, you know, people who think they're a bit more eclectic and stuff like that. Yeah, it's always like the default beard. Wow, okay, that makes sense.
Did you say that?
Prabhupada. Yeah. Okay. So whenever you're preaching to a guy with a goatee, then keep that in mind. So careful about what you say, but at the same time, make your points well. So. Yes. Yes. I didn't. Oh, we respect someone, and they don't return that respect. Then you don't have to respect them. That's mana. In other words, you respect them and they don't return the respect appropriately, then you don't have to actually, you're not obliged to respect them. Yes, but... Yes, so you don't have to follow that. You're not obliged to follow that. That position is based on that. It doesn't mean now they have carte blanche to do what they like.
Can you say also there's a difference between seniority and authority?
Yeah. It means this is a point of respect, but it doesn't mean that they're authority. It just means you respect these things. You know, you deal, that's respected. You deal nicely, but you don't let them take advantage. So you have both at once. So you deal respectfully, but also at the same time, keep yourself from getting, you know, caught up in their scene. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah? Okay. 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 This person then is thrown into the helix, Kshara Kardama, where he must suffer great tribulation at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. Sri Bhagavat Prasad Acharya comments, a lowly person by his habits and knowledge, who does not respect holy persons and on the other hand insults them, comes to this hell. It is a pit filled with the paste of salt and other burning material. Here Yama's servants immerse them upside down. So it's because you think you're so great and proud, so they put you in upside down. You know, it's always perfectly arranged. That's the thing. That's what you see is these hells are always perfect for what's done, or like the curses of the great personalities. They're always so perfect for the mentality. Sukadeva Goswami continued, there are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Bhairava or Bhadrakali and then eat their victim's flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraj, where their victims, having taken the form of Rakshasas, cut them to pieces with sharpened swords. Just as in this world the man-eaters drank their victims' blood, dancing and singing in jubilation, their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrificers and celebrating in the same way. Right? But they're Rakshasas, so it's not a problem for them. In this life, okay, so it's just, you know, in other words, don't do this. Now, we could eat them if we don't dance and jubilate, you know? Yeah, no, you just don't do this at all. Right?
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest. And after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell, known as Shula Prota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp, needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds, such as vultures and herons, come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. Those who live in this life are like... committed in the past. So generally the thing is that one is always remembers what one did. So there is that element of repentance. Right? But then the problem comes is then after again taking birth, they forget. You know, that's the problem. Yeah.
Some people have... you know, fears, you know, different kind of fears. Is this connected to the previous life or to this kind of suffering?
It could be, yes. Because there's some impressions. So whether it's from hell, from his previous life, whatever, it's impressions, so therefore they have.
Like fear of flying or fear of...
Yes, you know, something happens.
So many things.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear of heights.
Yeah.
Fear of heights.
Heights.
Yeah, it could be from the previous one thrown off the mountain like that. You have 800 miles. That'd take you quite a while to get down.
Yeah, you can enjoy the
view, the breeze, you know, like that.
But they do it once a day, once a year.
I'm not sure how often they do it. You know, to go back up the mountain. I'm not sure. Yeah, and there's no water, so it's not that you can just, you know, glide and go somewhere where there's water and go into the water. But I think from 800 miles, it wouldn't make much difference. You'd still end up in tiny pieces. Yes. Now, in other words, those who come for shelter, you're supposed to take care of. You know, that's the principle. Right, those who are dependents, that you have to take care. So it's not that I'm in charge, I can do what I like. No, you have to take care. Those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Dandashuka. My dear king, in this hell there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons just as snakes eat mice. So that, because you find some people, they're always angry, always envious, they're always trying to find fault. It doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do, it's wrong. You know, you try to be nice, it's wrong. You're not nice, it's wrong. You know, it's real, real problem. Those who in this life confine other living entities in dark wells, granaries, or mountain caves are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There, they themselves are pushed into dark wells, where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them, and they suffer very severely. Yeah, that might lead to claustrophobia. Yeah. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Parya Vartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. Right?
So both they stare at you and then they yeah, so. So in other words, when you have guests you don't want, smile. Yes, yes. So. Yes, 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 yes. In the purport to verse 35, Srila Prabhupada comments, according to the Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he has come to the home of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. Right? So if they just show up, you deal with them very nicely. Because then they'll forget. It means it doesn't mean that you allow them to take advantage. So it's because you know they're inimical, so then you're going to be careful in how you deal and everything. But it means your dealings and all that, to sit down, give them something to eat, you know, pleasant conversation, that's all done properly. Because one, then that itself may get rid of the inimical aspect. You know, or two, then they themselves can't be that inimical because you dealt nicely. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like that, it's just the point. Because in the future, you don't know how things will change. Yeah. Right? Because you may be inimical because you're in a senior position, but in the future, it may switch. So if you've dealt nicely with them, then they may now deal nicely with you. So it's just the proper etiquette. Sukadeva Goswami continued, one who in this world or this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks... Oh, no, we just read that. No, we didn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is another one. More people that are proud. Okay. Okay. One who in this world or this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I am so rich, who can equal me? So the other one was just they were very proud of themselves, pride, and so they don't respect others. This one doesn't say he doesn't respect. He may respect, but he's proud of his wealth. Who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth.
Another one to avoid.
Yes, definitely you want to avoid this one. When one possesses more, Srila Prabhupada comments, when one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. So, in other words, if the amount of wealth you have makes you proud, that's too much.
Yes.
That's the whole point. You know, so how much you can actually properly use, maintain your, you know, your Krishna consciousness, your sadhana, your balance and everything like that, that's how much you have. As you become purified, that can be more great, but it depends on Krishna consciousness, how much wealth you can deal with. Right? Because Krishna consciousness will generate the good qualities, therefore you'll deal properly. Right? Yes?
Usually people, they don't, except for their wealth, they don't have any other qualities. It's rare.
Yes.
So they're proud of this, but the other thing, they're not as proud,
yes. But
this makes them really proud.
Yes.
So that's how they get their respect in the society, just from that point.
Yes. So we just learn from that. We are careful that we don't use it as a social leverage.
Yeah.
You know, it may be it's necessary to use, but it's not due to pride, it's due to necessity. Just like I was talking with some professionals, and it somehow or another came up, I made the comment in the class, I was talking about another businessman, that he was commenting that even though he himself isn't really that interested in a Mercedes, but if he doesn't show up in a Mercedes, they don't take him seriously. Right? You know, in other words, everybody spends their money where they value. So, but it's taken that a fancy car is one of the things you have to have. He'd rather have a simpler car and use his money somewhere else. You know, like I remember it was one devotee, he moved to Bombay. So he's from Calcutta. So he's used to big houses, small cars, right? Because in Calcutta, prestigious cars is just something to get scratched. And no one will notice anyway because, you know, it's not like it does anything. So he moves to Bombay, finds a big apartment, gets himself a small car. Then other devotees that are there in the business community, they tell him, no, you got it wrong. You got to have the big car and a small apartment. And he says, why? Because people will notice your car. No one comes to your house. But his point is, no, I'm at my house. I like the big house. And what do I care? So he made the point is that if he has to do really big, he has to hire a car. Like that. So I had mentioned this in some as an example in some context. And these professionals, and they said, oh, really? Because they never do that. So then the next time they went to some big thing, they actually did that. They hired a big, you know, big fancy car and put on their fancy suit and all that, and they said it went really well. You know, they were surprised. They didn't think people were that shallow, but, you know, that's the way it is. So.
Yeah. That's Moscow, it's the same.
Yeah, definitely. That's why they have 12-lane highways, so everyone can drive their big cars. If everybody had Polsky Fiats, then you know, they wouldn't need 12 lanes, right?
But they never invite you to their house or apartment.
Yeah.
Was it granted or it's like...
that big.
No kitchen or nothing.
Nothing. And all the furniture turns into a bed.
IKEA.
Yeah, no, but I'm amazed because I understand a couch turning into a bed, but I saw one place a regular single chair turns into a bed. Yeah, the whole, everything turns into a bed. You know, I was impressed. So it's like, you know, one little dinky apartment that looks like a studio for one person and, you know, 10 people sleep there. Yeah. Like that, it's all. So, needless to say, he moved back to Calcutta.
City of joy.
Yeah, you know, yeah, city of joy. Right? Okay. When one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud, right? You might be, okay, you're okay. But when you become very proud, it becomes extended. That means it's too much. It's dangerous. Yeah. Then you should start giving in charity, finding things to do with it, like that. Yeah. It's more than what you can use. So it's beyond our quota. Because in other words, our quota, it should just be comfortable. Right? It's just like, let's say you're common... a general devotee, you know, he's got some place, he's got some, you know, he's got some stuff and this and that. Is he proud of his money? No, but compared to some other people in the world, he's actually quite wealthy. So that's the whole point, is at what level. That's what we say is, Prabhupada says, comfortable means not uncomfortable. So just what works for you, it's nice. So everybody will be different. Some person, it can be what we would call way beyond our means. But for them, that's normal. And what we say is, no, this is normal. Somebody else, it'll be on theirs. Yeah. You know, that's the normal thing. You lower him down in that. You don't get on a ladder. That's not cultured, you know. You know, that's for, you know, the low class guys, but the you know, the servants that they'll have are cultured, you know. And so then yeah, that's far out, isn't it? That's the old system, because they would lower them, clean them, light them, then raise them back up, because before they weren't electric. That's pretty far out. According to the Vedic culture, Brahmanas do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other notable activities as described in the Vedic injunctions. Right? So Brahmins have nothing. It's whatever they have, it's all for service to the Lord. Kshatriyas will have lots of wealth, but that's supposed to be used as sacrifice, protecting the people and doing all that kind of giving and charity.
all these different things like that.
One purport in the fourth temple of Prabhupada says that actually it all belongs to the Brahmins.
It all belongs to Brahmins, but the Brahmins don't, how much do the Brahmins need?
Yeah.
But the point is all the Brahmins, their business is protecting the law. And that means so that the people can follow it, be educated and follow the law. Now, to do that, it has to be organized. Who will organize it? The Kshatriyas. So therefore, the maximum wealth is given to them. Because they need it. You know, the Brahmin doesn't need an army, doesn't need an administration. He doesn't need to. In other words, he looks austere because you can't do that, you'll respect him. But if you're working in the world of, you know, I have family, money, possessions, land, that, if the guy's not bigger than you, you won't listen to him. So that's why the king has to be the biggest. Right? You know, it's like, I forget what group it is, but it's one group that in Africa, that who has the most clay pots, they're the richest in the village. You know? Another one is who has the most cows, or, you know, like this. So the ones that jump up and down? Huh? Maasai. For them, it's cows. Okay. He has the most cows. Okay, yes. So that's it. Yes. No, it just means that that's what you have to do. It depends on what see the Brahmins work in all the areas of knowledge. The Brahmins work in that, right? So that, or even practically in it. But the point is, it's about the science, and they're applying it. It's not about the art. Right? People assist them that are good with the art. So now, if they want to work in something that requires influence, then you have to have some kind of opulence, otherwise people don't respect it. Does that make sense? So that's why then devotees are clean, they dress nice, and that. It's simple, but it's nice. Then no one can complain. When you become proud of it. You know, it's like Prabhupada. He would dress very well and carry himself well, but when he'd go back to Vrindavan at Radha Damodar, he'd wear a single piece of cloth. He'd wear a yogi patra. You know what I'm saying? When he's just hanging around and doing his sadhana and service there at Radha Damodar. And you go into a program, then you put on the whole outfit. So he would keep it very simple. That. And then when he goes out, then it's, you know, like Prabhupada, he basically made a couple of times. Actually, I think there's once in Australia, once in Hong Kong, and also here in Mayapur, that a journalist or somebody, you know, who thinks they're really smart, you know, ask why so much opulence. I think it was that an article came out when Prabhupada came to Australia about, you know, Swami comes rolling in or something like that. You know, so what's the point? In Hong Kong, he was staying in the Hilton in the presidential suite, whatever it was, on the top floor. And in Mayapur, then we have all this. And that, you know, in Mayapur, then the guy, why do you have like that? He said, if Bhaktivedanta Swami sat down next to a tree under the Ganges, would you be here? Says, you know, all your talk for opulence, you're here because we have this opulence. We have these buildings. We have the longest building in Bengal. That's why you're here. If we were just sitting under the tree, you would not come here. You know, same with Prabhupada's in the Hilton or Prabhupada's in the Rolls Royce. Only because he's in the Hilton, then the journalist is there. If he wasn't in the Hilton, the journalist would not be there. Say what they want, they're not there. You know what I'm saying? So, that got them there. Now people know.
This is the time where Prabhupada said if the whole hotel was made out of solid
that's
gold.
That's what he said. That's what he said. Yeah, he said it still wouldn't be. He says the spiritual master represents the Supreme Lord. So even if the whole hotel, and this is 26 floors, was made out of solid gold, it still wouldn't be enough. But, you know, this is as good as it gets, so this is accepting.
You got to work with what's there.
Yeah, you got to work with what's there. The point is that the external goes with your internal. The more the internal is developed, the more you can use the external. if it's your conditioning that like that, you always dress nice, you're very exact, you do everything very pukka, then you do that anyway, and you engage that for Krishna. But to show more than that, or to, you know, for the, then that has to be, you have to be developed. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, you go according to the situation it's in. We're here in Mayapur, we wear older cloth, we're traveling, you know, and then we wear better stuff. You know. Does that make sense? You know, you're walking around here, you don't worry about the mud on the bottom of your shoes. When you go out traveling, you wash it off. Especially if you're going to Australia. Otherwise, you'd be taking it off there. No, because it might be carrying bugs or bacteria that's going to cause a problem. Because they have a very unique kind of, what do you call it, eco-culture, or bioculture or something there, that something introduced that doesn't match can really cause trouble. Yeah. No, anything. It's like this. Yeah. Never.
Never.
What's a farm? What does this word here mean? Yes. So if you're going to Australia, never put you've been on a farm in the last, otherwise. Don't take fruit. Yeah, don't take anything that's natural, that hasn't been thoroughly processed. Yeah.
Beekeeping equipment.
Huh?
Beekeeping equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bees.
Yeah.
You have to declare your beads, declare your neck beads. You know, I have to declare my shoes.
Wooden shoes?
You declare your wooden shoes. And sometimes they just let you off because it's so absurd. You know, wooden shoes, yeah, get out of here. But some people, they take advantage and they take it completely apart. Yeah. They have problems there. Because it's... Okay. Where were we? Okay. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no purpose. So either he'll be a total miser, or just a, you know, spend, yeah. No, spendthrift is where you're careful. You know, just, like you said, lavishly spend it. Without discrimination. Because in this age there are no qualified Brahmins, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, almost everyone is a Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sampava. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Shudra does not know how to use money to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayana. Wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayana. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. If one does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. Right? So it's for, in other words, human beings having money is for developing human life. And so then part of that is helping others also develop theirs. So it has to be in some way. That you're becoming Krishna conscious, family's becoming Krishna conscious, you're supporting Krishna conscious things, doing Krishna conscious things, then the money's being properly spent. If it's beyond that, then that will create trouble because it will be unnecessarily spent. Okay. Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King Parikit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter those various planets according to the degree of their impiety." Right? All those I mentioned, and the ones I haven't mentioned. Right? "Those who are pious, however, enter another planetary, other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods.
Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to earth after the results of their pious or impious acts are exhausted. Right? So everybody will come back here. Right? They'll head into the hellish planets, then, you know, by some point get back here. They go to the heavenly planets, they'll come back here. Srila Prabhupada comments, "We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of this material world will be fulfilled when we resume our complete, when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead." Resume and resume, are they spelled the same? Oh, okay, yeah. But it's just so context only is how you know. So you don't present your resume. Okay. Okay.
Not if you want the job.
Okay. Here is my resume. Unless it was you had a job there before and you're going back to get back your job. Then you present your resume. Right?
Okay. That's a very good application.
Yes. Okay, the complete purpose of the material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. One should be neither pious nor impious. So in other words, 18:66 is way more important than 10:66. Right? One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Even a child can perform it. So it's not about pious and impious. It's about what pleases Krishna. So devotional service is performing those activities that are recommended for pleasing Krishna. Right? So that's what we're doing. So for us, it's not pious because it's naishkarmi. Right? It's not impious. So it's just we're not trying to do either. Because if we're worried about, oh, it's pious or how we'll be seen like this, the problem is when you go back to the spiritual world, then you still have to be purified of that if it remains. Mm-hmm. If you still have some connection with piety and impiety, that still has to be removed before you can actually become the Lord's associate. Therefore, you know, why not give it up now? Yes. Right? So naishkarmi is the way that it's not pious, it's not impious. But we're engaging pious activities in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? Because the whole world's about devotional service, so what's recommended are things that are actually useful in devotional service. Whether you use them or not, that's another thing. But that's what they're for. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the planet or this planet, it is more or less the same as a living entity. In the sense that if they are attached to piety or impiety,
one will turn into the other.
Yes.
If you go to the hellish reasons, you repent, so then you try to be more pious, but getting more pious, then you become proud, and therefore then you come fall down. So that's the problem, is that only devotional service can solve these problems of that. So why we have this is that, one, we know it's there in the Lord's, how we know all the mentalities. So now we know how everyone gets situated in the universe by the mentalities. But we also know is what mentalities elevate you, what degrade you. So therefore, to use in Krishna's service, we'd use ones to elevate you. So even though the devotees aren't going to go to these hells, the point is don't be doing the activity that would qualify you to go to those hells, because it's not pleasing to Krishna. Otherwise, why is it a hellish planet? If having attitude and not respecting everything was something Krishna liked, right, you know, then, you know, the spiritual world, you know, everybody would be walking around with big long chains and their pants falling off. Right? No? Spiritual hood, yeah. Back home, back to hood. Back home.
Godhood.
Yeah, Godhood. Yeah. Yeah, back to, what is it? Back to hood, back to Godhood, right? Yeah. Okay, so that's the point. It's so easy, anybody can do it. So it's not a restriction. Oh, it's so difficult. Karma is really difficult. Even sin, you have to work so hard. Right?
You know, unless, of course, the one thing, if you're born in the higher families, you don't apply yourself, or you just live as a Dvija Bandhu, that doesn't really take any work, and, you know, you get the benefit. You know, the Vaitarani River experience. Yeah. Right?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki